Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast, where we explore how coaching can transform leadership, teaching and learning. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and in today's special episode, we're celebrating International Women's Day by exploring how coaching can make leadership more sustainable, inclusive and strengths focused. My guest today is Nicole O'Brien, a passionate school leader who has embedded coaching as a core part of leadership development and well-being in multiple schools. Nicole has led whole school coaching initiatives, supporting over 70 middle leaders in a previous role, and now, as a principal of the brand new Barry Primary School, she is using coaching as a foundation to create a thriving leadership culture from day one. Nicole is also a gratitude warrior, a leader who believes in the power of appreciation, strengths-based coaching and well-being to build resilient, empowered teams. Today we'll discuss how coaching can help school leaders lead in a way that is not only effective but also sustainable, and how it can help women in leadership navigate the challenges of the role with confidence and purpose. So whether you're a leader, a coach, or simply someone who is passionate about education, this episode is packed with insights you won't want to miss. Nicole, it really is a pleasure to have you join me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to this one. Nicole, let's set the scene a little bit for the listeners. Can you share maybe a wee bit about your leadership journey so far? Maybe what inspired you to become a principal, and how has coaching shaped your approach?
Yeah, thank you. I think I've always loved education. So even when I was at school, I think my teachers could see the potential of leadership within me. And I remember my first graduate position working at a school with 28 students. And my principal there just really took the time to mentor and coach and really support and encourage. So from being a graduate, I won't tell you when I was a graduate, but all those years ago. And I think just the inspiring people that I've been able to work with, both leaders, coaches and people in education, has just kind of naturally led me to my first principalship and now my second in opening a brand new school.
Fantastic. And you've, as you say, introduced coaching at whole school level before. What did that look like in practice? And you know, just for the listeners, what impact did that have?
I think people hear about this story and think that it was easy and just magical. It was a lot of hard work, and hard work but worth it work, because I always knew, and I still know, that coaching in middle leadership is just so important. And I remember saying to my growth coach, I don't want my middle leaders waiting until they're preparing for principalship to be able to get coached. So that real commitment to middle leadership development was the reason behind it. And there was just a need. Like there were, I think you said 67 or something, 67 middle leaders, and you just have to think creatively and do things differently in a situation like that. So to be able to be working with those people who were open to the coaching, and really their feedback was, wow, like this is for me. This is my time to talk about what I need and what I'm experiencing. And my coach is really helpful. They're nudging my thinking. And there was just this real, just the feelings that it generated around benefiting the middle leaders and being really helpful. That was the biggest impact that I noticed, and that real belief of I can do this. I can do this, and if I'm struggling or finding it challenging, I've got my coach, and my coach has really got me and holds that space for me when we talk. So, yeah, I think that was the biggest impact.
Fantastic. So now, essentially, you're starting or have started a brand new school just very recently at the time of recording this, literally at the start of this month. Why have you made coaching a core pillar of leadership and well-being right from the outset?
Again, just that real sense of I don't want people waiting until they get to the most senior position in their leadership journey to experience the coaching. So here, this school is much smaller. So we have a staff of 16 at the moment. And that coaching culture is really contributing to like our motto of the deep gratitude and growth, because as we're experiencing those challenges or those opportunities to grow, having somebody else there to help us through that and to nudge our thinking, that's one side of it. But then also having those ongoing coaching conversations and that coaching way of being. So curiosity, leaning in, the power of the pause and giving yourself and others that time to think, that is really growing the leaders in a really supportive way. So commitment to coaching always, but it really looks different in different settings. And I think taking that into account is the most important. There's not one size fits all in different settings or with the different people that we work with.
Yeah, I think that's an important one, because obviously there's been a great amount of success in the previous school. I mean, even numerically, you think of that number of people, but you can't just simply replicate that, you know, like for like in a new setting. So I think that's helpful for listeners as well. And Nicole, one thing you've written or mentioned that I've written down here, which I think is interesting, you've actually said this twice: I don't want people waiting. I think that's really helpful. You know, you're obviously, you know, you have a, okay, there's a duty of care to staff, but it's much more than that. You don't want folks, particularly in the middle leadership space, waiting for coaching. So I think that's a real encouragement, certainly at the start of a sort of a new school build. Many leaders now, when we're talking about coaching, genuinely see coaching as an add-on rather than a core leadership skill. How would you respond to that thought?
I'm smiling. I think the minute it's seen as an add-on, it kind of removes from that invitational side of coaching. And that's why this way of being, like coaching as a way of being, and here at Barry Yip, it's a way of being at Barry Yip. So it's the way we are every day. It's not, Richard's coming in, it's Tuesday, I have to listen today. It really is that genuine way of being. And I think that's helpful, because if people are seeing it as an add-on, then it's really not going to have the impact that it's intended for. And that shows that that person isn't quite ready for it or doesn't quite have that understanding. So definitely not an add-on. And in education, we don't have time for add-ons. It has to have that purpose. Otherwise, we shouldn't be doing it.
I love it. That's the statement of the interview. You know, in education, we don't have time for add-ons. That's a lovely quote. Nicole, how do you then go ahead and actually embed a coaching approach in leadership? So rather than just offering it, as we talked about, as coaching as a tool.
Yeah, I think symbolically sharing with everybody that I talk to that I have a coach. I have a growth coach who I've worked with for many years. And I think actually sharing that with people, it's not just you go do coaching and I'll wait over here. It's that really quite genuine learning alongside people. So so modelling that, and then also having the staff around you that you recruit who believe in this way of being through coaching, who have coaching themselves, and through that real ripple effect of coaching through what you're learning in your coaching leading to action, the language of coaching coming through in the conversations that we have as a staff as well. So, yeah, it's not just as simple as we're doing coaching, let's go. It has to be really carefully planned for. And those ongoing checkpoints to check in with what's going well, what could we do better, that also has to be a conversation, because we can't assume that coaching fixes everything or that everyone is going to experience it the same way.
I think that's all very, very helpful. And when you're talking about coaching as a way of leading, sharing with everyone that you have a coach, I think is really, really important. I know that, you know, in various schools around the country, around the globe, there are scenarios, and sometimes with the best intention, where, you know, a principal or a senior leadership team will bring in coaching for other people within the staff. And again, well-intentioned, but it's so much more impactful if the principal is leading the way, you know, which is what you're doing here, saying, you know, I have a coach and I see the benefit of coaching. Therefore, there's going to be, you know, a lot more buy-in. I mean, and you talk about this idea of invitational, you know, using that word. So I think that's going to be really helpful for folks who are listening, Nicole. When we think about the whole area of strengths-based leadership and coaching. This is obviously something that you're, you know, passionate about, this idea of strengths-based leadership. Why do you believe this approach is so powerful?
I think it's powerful. I think it's necessary. And I think that's come through my learning as a leader and being in the classroom as a teacher as well. And I know we were talking about this the other day. How often do we go into a classroom or have a conversation with someone and start with their strengths of what they're doing well? We often launch into what has to be better and how it has to be done. And I think starting with strength base, like it's this real, it's a far more gentle way of leading and receiving that information. And how often do our teachers hear or our educators hear everything that they're doing well? Just not often enough. How often do leaders hear what they're doing well? Not often enough. So I think basing conversations on the strengths, it just really nurtures and grows that from a really, like, it's already growing. It's not a deficit model. And I think sometimes when you say to people, hey, you're going to be coached, they think straight away, oh, I've done something wrong, or I'm not doing it right, rather than seeing this as a learning conversation. Yeah, I think there's a fair bit of work for us to do around what coaching actually is, and coaching is a really positive.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's very true. So if we're thinking about a practical scenario, then, you know, using strength-based coaching, you mentioned again middle leaders and also senior leaders. So how do you use strength-based coaching to support those people, middle leaders and senior leaders?
Yeah, so here, just very incidentally, we've been calling them learning conversations. So it's a conversation about the learning that we're both doing. And we've, without trying, just we don't really have the language of coach and coachee. Like, we're two educators sharing that same space and having a learning conversation about what's going well and what could be better. So that's one way that we're navigating that here. And I've just found in using that language as well, everyone's open to it. Everyone wants a learning conversation or a learning walk. Whereas if it's a coaching conversation or a coaching walk, in my experience previously, it's been a very different reaction to that. So I think the language around coaching has definitely been a shift, and what we're trying to achieve here at Barry Yip.
Yeah, that's going to be very helpful for a lot of listeners, the idea of the language and choosing the vocabulary that you use carefully and many ways intentionally, and you use that lovely phrase, learning conversations. And it's interesting, you know, you again, to use your own words, everybody's open to a learning conversation. So again, you know, just how we package this, you know, to our colleagues. And interestingly, you mentioned the comment there, you know, it's a learning conversation for both parties. So there's going to be learning happening, and you know, for both individuals that are involved in that, which I think is really helpful. I mean, can you think of an example, Nicole, maybe where focusing on those strengths, so in a learning conversation, for example, actually transformed a leader's confidence or maybe their effectiveness?
Yeah, I can. We had a learning conversation only last week, and we know, as humans and as educators, often we can just feel stuck. So talking to this person about where they were stuck and what they needed to do, and really sharing with them what I had noticed. So I noticed this, and that's a real strength of yours. You could just see the person, it's kind of like they grew 3 centimetres as we were talking, and just that relief on their face and the smile of, oh, yeah, oh, I did do that. And so I think that's straight, and it's still very genuine. Like, it's not just picking anything random, but it's really about that person. And I think having that conversation with them and seeing that confidence grow, and then for us as well, it's about how are we going to take this conversation forward. So it's not just sitting in this space and and being nice and enjoying the moment, but it's about how we're going to take that moment and grow it forward for this person's leadership, and more importantly, for the people that they work around and the impact that's going to have on the students. So I think that that's the real importance of taking it from strength-based, because it has that impact on the leader, absolutely, but that ripple effect then on the other educators the leader is leading, and then what's going to happen as a result of that in the classroom for the students.
Yeah, you're painting a lovely picture there, and there's a nice process that you're going through there, from the initial, I suppose, invitation to a learning conversation, but then that focus on you noticing, you know, the strength of another. It's interesting you use the word relief, because quite often we are used to seeing the gaps and the issues, and there's times for that, those conversations, absolutely. But isn't it lovely when somebody actually intensely notices what's going well? And you said that there is, you know, it's genuine. You know, there's something that somebody has noticed that is genuinely genuine. But it's not just a nice little chat. It's really about, use the phrase, taking this forward, taking the conversation forward, and use the phrase, and that lovely phrase, grow it forward. Isn't that a nice one? And you mentioned again, recent episode we had with Claudia Owad, the ripple effect, you know, so the impact that that's going to have on the people around the person who's having the learning conversation. I nearly said a coaching conversation, I had to check myself, but the learning conversation, you can see the ripple effect, which is great. And it really does, I suppose, lead us into that whole area of well-being in many ways, because that's going to have a positive impact on those individuals, plus for you as well. So if we're thinking around the whole area of well-being and bringing in many ways sustainability as well, many school leaders, and Nicole, you'll know what this is like, and I do too, as a previous head, many school leaders struggle with burnout. I can imagine at the moment, you know, you're opening up a brand new school, I would say there's a lot of potential for burnout. You need to manage that very well. But how can coaching be a tool for making leadership a little bit more sustainable? What are your thoughts?
I think for me, the most important part of being well in the work that I do, and being really strategic with the longevity of my career, because I really want to have a long career, as we all do, is having that coach and knowing that they are there for you. And that comes back to the feedback of the middle leaders when you were asking about the impact on them. But not just their confidence was growing, but they felt well to do their work, because they were well supported. So I think having that coach there to lift you up when you need it, and to also nudge you along the way as well, because that nudging, that lifting, that support, I describe it with my coach as a trapeze. And I feel like the coach is just that constant net at the bottom. They're always going to catch you. And when you're going up to the trapeze, they're always calling out, higher, higher, go higher, because they believe in you. So I think that just that real notion of they're there for you, or they're there for me, really helps to add to that longevity and that wellness. Like, that real feeling of, I've got this, it is hard and I am experiencing a challenge and I'm going to be okay.
Again, you're painting lovely pictures, Nicole, with how you describe these things. And you started off there by mentioning the phrase being well, which I think is a useful one for people to think about. Being well, and then the word well came in with well supported. And you mentioned, you know, having a coach to give you, yes, a lift, which is exceptionally important, particularly for a principal, somebody in leadership. But that little nudge as well is important. But the nudge comes at the same time as the support comes. You know, so there's a nudge, but at the same time, you know, you talk about that trapeze act, that the net's there. Isn't it a lovely thought to, you know, to think through as a school leader? You know, you're up at in great heights, and somebody's going higher, higher. You know, you can do this, you can go a little bit higher. So you've been given that little bit of a nudge, in very much an environment where you're well supported, and you know, worst case scenario, if you miss, you know, you're going to slip down into the net. because that's what your coach is there for. So I would imagine this is something that you build up, you know, that relationship over time in many ways. So that's a fantastic picture and going to be really helpful for the folks who are listening. One of my colleagues, and you'll smile at this, Nicole, at GCI, refers to you as a gratitude warrior. Isn't that a fantastic title? How does gratitude fit into your leadership and your coaching approach?
What a title. I quite like it. It's really important, I think, for people to know that there's a little bit of a misconception around gratitude being quite rainbows and unicorns. And gratitude really, for me, and this goes back to how do you keep yourself well, gratitude in those times of struggle and adversity is something that I draw on because it does keep you well, and gratitude helps you sleep at night, and that's research based, and it helps you remember the good things. And I think in leadership, it's really easy to get stuck in the challenge, which leads to you not sleeping, and then leads to you not remembering all of the good things. And there's so many good things in education and leadership, and so often we can be drawn away from that. So gratitude for me is that real resource for grounding myself and really taking note of what am I grateful for, because it's there's so much, Richard, that we can be grateful for. And just that simple act of saying thank you or recognizing the strengths in others, it really just sets it a healthy scene, and a scene to keep us all well. So that's why gratitude for me.
Yeah, I like the phrase you've used there, Nicole, remembering the good things. You know, it's something that we need to intentionally do. And I suppose, again, that's where the coaching relationship can come in again, you know, shining a light on what's going well. But in many ways, you know, your whole approach to leadership and running your new school is that gratitude warrior approach, remembering the good things. And you also mentioned, which is really useful, grounding yourself, you know, keeping you grounded. Quite often being grounded is remembering the good things, because we can very, very easily fall into that trap where we focus on what's going wrong or what's not just going well enough. And in school leadership, there's a constant list of things that we just haven't reached yet. And if we focus on those too much, well, then we're going to go down the wrong road. So that idea of being a gratitude warrior, remembering the good things and grounding yourself, is really, really helpful for folks. And I know the folks who are listening will appreciate that. If we move on to the whole area of women in leadership and coaching for inclusion, Nicole, so International Women's Day is about celebrating progress and advocating for equity. Have there been times when coaching has helped you navigate leadership challenges, Nicole?
Absolutely. Every coaching session, I think those coaching conversations, and again, the time and the space that my coach dedicates to me and what I need, they do nudge me, but that nudging comes from that place of belief in what I'm doing, and that real belief in, it's almost like they know that I have the answer, even though sometimes I'd really like them just to give me the answer. But it's really helped navigate challenges, and again, that feeling of stuck or what I'm experiencing at the moment is going to be forever. So just that real being able to talk honestly and work our way through that together, that's definitely been a big key to helping navigate those challenges. Knowing that, again, in leadership, there's always going to be those challenges, but how we look at them and how we look at this challenge in comparison to the previous challenge and how we take the learning from that, that's been the most helpful part in working with my coach, is you got through this last time, what can we take from that to move forward with this time? And knowing that once we get through this one, there will most likely be another one. So that's what I find most helpful about my coach.
Yeah, that's super. I like that idea, you know, genuine belief in what I'm doing. I think is useful. And again, yes, quite often, you know, we're having conversation with our coach. We really want them just to tell us, you know, what the answer is or what to do. But they have belief in us. They have belief in you, you know, as a coachee, or in the learning conversation, and what you're doing, that you have a solution to it, which is helpful. And that word navigate, I think, is really important. So navigating challenge, which suggests, you know, a certain amount of movement back and forwards and through things, and then taking the learning from those challenging situations and applying those to what, as you say, what inevitably will be another challenge around the corner. Do you think, Nicole, in your opinion, do you think women in leadership face unique pressures? And if so, you know, how can coaching help them thrive, really thrive rather than just survive?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak from my own experience. And I know just recently I've shared with a couple of colleagues we're trying to avoid the word balance because sometimes balance, it feels like that's unachievable. So it's about this life work satisfaction. And I think that challenge is quite real, especially for those of us who do have families. And we often laugh about, I did such a good job today and I had hummus in my hair and I had gravy on my dress, but I still showed up and did my best. So I think those challenges are really real in trying to achieve that satisfaction between life and work. And that's something for us all to be thinking about. And again, drawing on that gratitude of what am I thankful for what I have already, and of what I'm aspiring for, being grateful for that as well, but just that real moment of I'm grateful for what I have now. Those challenges, though, I think, Richard, really depend on the day, the person, the context. And I know that it might sound quite vanilla, but we all experience that, and how we rely on our coach in that situation or how we coach ourselves in that situation. I think that is probably something that's quite unique to different individuals in the different roles that they have.
Yeah, certainly a lot of things will be, as you say, context specific. But I love that. I love that idea you have. We're moving away from the word balance, but towards this idea of life work satisfaction. I think that's a lovely way to phrase that. And again, you know, as the gratitude warrior you are, you mentioned that word gratitude again and the role that plays when it comes to this idea of life work satisfaction. What advice, and this is a lovely opportunity, what advice would you give to women who are stepping into leadership roles? There have been many, many of them listening to this podcast, all being well, and they want to lead in a way that feels authentic to them.
Yes. Firstly, go for it. Please step into leadership because if that's what you're thinking about, you're already wanting it. So I really think pursuing the things that we want. And the best advice that I was ever given is be yourself, because you can't be anyone else. And just being yourself, it's easier. You don't have to overthink it. You're showing up every day and you're being you. You're being genuine, authentic to your own values and really bringing them to the work that you do, I think is really important as we step into leadership roles and we're leading other humans. Bringing your real human to that is the advice that I'd give.
Fantastic advice. Be yourself and, more importantly, go for it. I think that's a terrific bit of advice. Thinking about, I suppose, key takeaways from the conversation that we're having today, Nicole. So let's say a school leader's listening to this episode and wants to start embedding a coaching culture. Now, that's a significant thing, as you know. What's one thing you would suggest a place where they should begin?
Well, you have to start somewhere. So I think just starting is really important. Starting, and also one of my favorite mantras is go slow to go fast. So we know that navigating a coaching culture, again, depending on context, has its challenges. And I think that real starting small and getting some runs on the board and then growing it slowly over time with those key people on board who are going to be with you. I think that's really important because sometimes in our leadership, we might be really excited about something and we know it's the right thing and it's research-based and we go and we dive straight into it. And then you're left with like this puddle that you're in. And it's not to say there won't be other puddles, but you have to start somewhere and going slow. Like, what are the small wins along the way that will help that culture of coaching grow?
So that's a terrific piece of advice. Go slow to go fast and very much start small. I love that phrase, get a few runs on the board, which is a lovely idea. But you mentioned as well there, Nicole, key people. You know, it's important to look around you and see who those key people might be. Because yes, we can all be incredibly enthusiastic and flying the flag for coaching. But if we don't have the, you know, key people around us, you know, you mentioned that one again, a lovely picture that can just be a puddle, you know, and there's going to be a number of puddles in it. There's nothing wrong with a puddle because, you know, we're all human. But thinking it through in advance, making sure we go slow to go fast, starting small and getting a few runs on the board and getting those key people around us, then we're going to reduce, I suppose, the number of puddles or in some cases the size of the puddle. But getting started is obviously a really key piece of advice. If you're thinking about that whole scenario, and you touched on this in a lovely way at the start, about leaders making coaching as a way of leading rather than just a tool, is there something that you could share with us, you know, just as we close out today in that scenario?
Yeah, I think that's part of the going slow to go fast, because then it's part of the work that you're already doing rather than that perceived, oh, and now we're doing this, or it's separate to that other work. So I think that going slow to go fast and really building that understanding of the language around it, what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, in particular with the people around you who are going to be involved, and really having their voice as you grow this culture, because they're going to be the people who are modelling that way of being and this coaching way of being. So lots of learning conversations, lots of bumps along the road, and seeing those as growth. And for me, being grateful for those moments, because gratitude in those moments when it is tough and how we show up in those tough moments, that for me is more important than everything going smoothly and it being easy. So really being grateful for those moments of hard, because growing is hard. And if we could be more grateful for that, I think that would be, a much more helpful way of being for education as a whole.
Fantastic. And I'm glad you moved into that whole area of gratitude, because that's my final question. And again, a practical thing. So, you know, so there's leaders listening right now to this podcast. They might be on their way to work. They might be on their way home from work, walking the dog, whatever it might be. But they're thinking through what you've discussed today. They've got that idea of you as a gratitude warrior in their mind, which I think is a lovely image. So when they're moving into work tomorrow, next week, whatever it might be, you know, how can they incorporate this idea of strengths and gratitude in a practical way into their own leadership, you know, from the word go?
Yeah, strengths and gratitude. I think starting with self, again, how often do we tell ourselves three things that we've done well today, or recognizing our own strengths? And that's gratitude for self. Gratitude you do give to others, but you can definitely have gratitude for self. So I think recognizing the strengths in self and others. And I think one of the phrases, Richard, that I often go to is, instead of, oh, now I have to do that, flipping that to, ah, oh, I get to do this. I get to, rather than it's happening to me. And again, that's that mindset, and it's a grateful mindset, because instead of it's happening to me, why me? It's, oh, this is happening for me. What learning can I take from this? What could I be grateful for in this moment? And it doesn't mean you have to be grateful for everything, because gratitude is a really authentic feeling and way of being. But if we start to look at those challenges more from that mindset, I think that's going to be far more helpful. So strengths-based, recognizing the strengths that we have, telling ourselves what we did well, and really looking at things as, oh, this is happening for me, or I get to do this. Those ways of being helpful.
Those are really helpful, Nicole, and I'm learning something, so I'm grateful as well. So that idea of starting with self, you know, having a focus on being grateful for what's going on well with you, which is really a good first step. But then isn't that a lovely idea moving from I have to do this to I get to? There's a real, I would imagine, discipline in that. That's something that's going to take a bit of time. People are listening to this going, okay, that's going to be a challenge for me tomorrow or the next day when I go to school. Instead of saying I have to, check yourself and say, do you know what, I get to. Because headship is an unbelievable privilege. You know, there's difficult times, there's real challenges. We've talked about navigating challenge today, and that happens on a daily basis. You know, particularly opening a brand new school and all the snags that you get. But even on a day-to-day, you know, in the role, there are lots of things you could say, oh, I have to do this and I have to do that. It's a long to-do list. But just trying to flip that and challenge yourself to say, do you know what, I actually get to. And there'll be a long list of things. And so I think that's a lovely note to finish on from the gratitude warrior herself. Nicole, thank you so much for your time today. I would imagine that having opened a school only a matter of weeks ago, your to-do list is quite a lengthy one. So I want to share our appreciation from all of us here at GCI for giving us some of your precious time to record this conversation. From embedding coaching as a leadership approach to using strengths and gratitude to sustain well-being, you certainly have shown us how coaching is so much more than just a tool. It's a way of leading that empowers both individuals and whole school communities. For our listeners, I'm sure today's episode will have resonated with you. And if you'd like to find out more about coaching as a way of leading, do check out our website, where you'll get access to a wide variety of resources and up-to-date information on upcoming GCI courses. Please do join the conversation by connecting with us on social media, and let's continue exploring how we can make leadership in education more sustainable, inclusive, and impactful. And looking ahead, I trust you will all join me on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.